I made a request this morning that I wanted to speak from a verse from the first canto, and these, while I'm here, speak several verses from the first canto. So I hope it's okay with all of you. It's a very nice verse, an important verse from the second chapter of first canto, where Sutta Goswami is describing the consciousness that must be in place in performance of duties of life. So we'll discuss text 9 and 10 from chapter 2. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Dharmasya Yapa Vargasya. Nartotayolpakalpate. Nartasya dharmakantasya kamolabhaya hi smritaha. Translation: all occupational engagements are certainly meant for ultimate liberation. They should never be performed for material gain. That's revolutionary. Occupational engagements are never to be performed for material gain. Who out there thinks like that? Furthermore, according to the sages, smritaha, one who is engaged in the ultimate occupational service should never use material gain to cultivate sense gratification. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. We have already discussed that pure devotional service to the Lord is automatically followed by perfect knowledge and detachment from material existence. But there are others who consider that all kinds of different occupational engagements, including those of religion, are meant for material gain. The general tendency of any ordinary man in any part of the world is to gain some material profit in exchange for religious or any other occupational service. Even in the Vedic literatures, for all sorts of religious performances, an allurement of material gain is offered. And most people are attracted by such allurements or blessings of religiosity. Why are such so-called men of religion allured by material gain? Because material gain can enable one to fulfill desires, which in turn satisfy sense gratification. So listen to this sentence. There's a cycle. This cycle of occupational engagements includes so-called religiosity, followed by material gain, and material gain followed by fulfillment of desires, which inspires one to go back to the occupational engagement performed with religious merit so that one gets material gain, so that one gets sense gratification, and then back again. That's the cycle. Bottom line is sense gratification. Sense gratification is the general way for all sorts of fully occupied men, meaning religious or irreligious, But in the statement of Sutta Goswami, as per the verdict of Srimad Bhagavatam, this is nullified by the present shloka. One should not engage himself in any sort of occupational service for material gain only, nor should material gain be utilized for sense gratification. How should material gain be utilized? This described as follows, text 10. So we'll first cover text 9. Dharmasya yapavargasya narto tayopakalpate narthasya dharmai kantasya tamo labhayahi smritaha. All occupational engagements are certainly meant for ultimate liberation. They should never be performed for material gain. In the purport, Prabhupada is referring to the verse where Sutta is saying that occupational engagements, when performed in the mood of devotional service, automatically give rise to knowledge and detachment from this world. What is that occupational engagement that doesn't give detachment from this world? It's material life. Occupational engagement is for material gain. Everybody knows it. Why everybody's running around and running around and running around? And running around and running around and running around. And, ooh, getting dizzy running around. Have you noticed that passion is on the rise in India today? I've noticed. Ignorance too. Just the flight coming from Delhi to Hyderabad. Oh, so many people. Zoom, 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 zoom. The lines were really long. A lot of people wanting to go to the next place and zoom, zoom, zoom. Wow. It wasn't like that before. And it's going to get more. And the highways more. And more isn't enough. It's got to be more. And what's the target? Sense gratification. More, 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 more. That's a whole topic. But the Bhagavatam is saying that the message of all the Vedas, because Sutta Goswami is being asked to give that summary, the message of all the Vedas is do your occupational duty in such a way that the Supreme Lord is pleased. When you do so, automatically knowledge and detachment result. Detachment from sense gratification. Yes, detachment from sense gratification. Well, if you're detached from sense gratification, what else is there? Like people in the West, they hear the do nots. I haven't heard this recently, but they used to ask this. What do you guys do for fun? Not this, not this, not this, not this. What's left? Come to our Sunday program and see what kind of fun we have. But it's not this, not this, not this, not this. And causelessly, detachment from that run around program subsides and knowledge awakens. Is Raghavendra here? When I was catching the flight, there was a person, there were two lines going through the security check, that took about an hour. If you have to fly, allow an extra hour just to go through the security line. And it's parallel. So there was another person. He was a young man staring at me like I was a white elephant. And when we got on the other side, he sat down next to the white elephant and said, I'm very attracted to, you know, your saffron dress and spiritual life, and can you share with me? So he started talking, and so his thing was, detached from sense gratification, detached from even thinking that he existed. I have this struggle, I have this inner struggle. Do I exist? Because I believe in God and God does everything. Since God does everything, maybe I don't even exist. I said, that's an illusion, and the other side is also an illusion. You exist. But, you know, the material energy, the Prakriti, does everything. But yes, Prakriti does everything. But Prakriti doesn't do anything without the living entity activating Prakriti. And without the living entity recognizing the desire of the living entity, the Supreme Lord sanctions the living entity's desire and endeavors, and then things happen. But you're not zero. Oh, really? Well, there was a sadhu that told me like that. The sadhu said, since you're a grahastha, then you can't follow the path of jnana. You got to follow the path of bhakti. I mean, it's like a classic textbook thing that we read about. And here's this nice young guy, like a little puppy dog wagging his tail and, you know, his ears flapping, saying, you know, woof, woof, how do I get spiritual? Nice, he's nice, but, you know, very innocent, and being told impersonalism. The path of Gyan is for, you know, folks like me wearing saffron, and folks wearing white, forget it. You're second class. You can go play in the sandbox like little children. Play with bhakti for a while, and then when you get a little, you know, sober, you can put on saffron like me, and then you can become one with the Supreme. And then, just as that part of the conversation, so what should I do for my grahastha life? Just as he was asking that question, Raghavendra came. There was his son with his tilak, and he was wearing his tilak and had his bead bag, and this young man just lit up. Wow, that's what I do with my family. Practice a life of devotion. And I'm wearing saffron, and I'm practicing a life of devotion. It's not, you know, just for weak-minded persons to practice devotion. The sentimentalists that can't get it together to become one with the Supreme. It's out there in the marketplace. Don't think it's just like, you know, something of some years ago. You know, in the Vedic times, people talk like that. People are talking like that. So the message of the Bhagavatam needs to be heard, and the message of the Bhagavatam needs to be demonstrated by life example. Both by achar and by prachar. We need a lot of sankirtan effort. And part of sankirtan effort is setting an example in the world of how to practice, how to reach Krishna. So through a life of devotion that's very singularly focused, then knowledge and detachment arise. So that's been discussed. That's at the beginning of this purport. So what's the implication that knowledge and detachment arise when one engages in service of the person Vasudeva Bhagavati Bhakti Yoga Prayojita Janayati Ashu Vairagyam Jnanam Chalya Dhaitakam Ahaitakam, the causelessly awakened. So what's that look like? Here's the description. Dharmasya hi appavargyasya appavarga. There's pavarga and appavarga. And everybody knows what pavarga is. Out there they all know, they may not know what the word means, but they know what it feels like. Material activity. Pa 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 ma. You've heard this so many times, Prabhupada explaining. Pa pa ba pa and Mrityu. Hard activity. Foam comes from the mouth. Then fear. Pa pa ba. Bha and Mrityu. And that's material activity. Pavarga. And this is Apavarga. Apavarga is the path of liberation. But Prabhupada translates it as ultimate liberation, because this other kind of liberation is what this young fellow was hearing. Merge. Become one, not even just become one with the Supreme. Lose your identity, become nothing. Wow. But how can you become nothing? I said, even, this is the discussion. I said, even the thought that you are going to become nothing, who's the thinker of that thought? He said, yeah, I've struggled with that over and over again. How can I have the thought about becoming one with the Supreme when I'm the one having the thought? That's it. I said, stop struggling. You exist. And Krishna confirms. Mam evamsi jiva loke jiva bhuta sanatana. Sanatana. Eternally. The angsa of the Supreme. There's Atman, there's Paramatma. There's a nice discussion. He's like a very misinformed person. Lots of people are very misinformed. Lots of people don't care. But some people care. And they're misinformed. It's really painful. Very painful. So, Apavarga is the path of, in the Bhagavatam language, it's ultimate liberation. What's the difference between liberation and ultimate liberation? It's the difference between sayujya and devotional service. Liberation is you turn everything off. Prabhupada gave this example. You're banging your head against the wall and it hurts and you stop. And you say, ah, that feels good. That's liberation. That's sayujya. In New York City, it's when the fire engines stop. Like Prabhupada would comment, you can hear, when you hear the lectures at 26 Second Avenue, the street noise and the fire sirens, and Prabhupada, that is city life. There's always a fire. There's always some calamity. The siren is going, the police are going. Who wants fire? Who wants calamity? But it's there. You get people packed up together in a big city and you get problems. Unwanted. You don't want, a problem means you don't want it. You get problems. So not, that's sayujya. So ultimate liberation is not just turn the volume down or turn it off, but what's the activity of the soul in this purified state. What do souls do in the purified state? It's devotional service to the Supreme. That's ultimate liberation. So dharma, you know, occupational duty, previously Prabhupada is translating it as, you know, the essence of the living entity, as in Sanatana Dharma. But here it's occupational duty. So you go to the office. What's the purpose of going to the office, school, or lab, or whatever it is that you do? Ultimate liberation, come on. You don't go to the office for ultimate liberation. Yes, you do each occupational duty. Yes, each occupational duty for ultimate liberation. There's a way to do it for ultimate liberation. It's to do it for Krishna. And how do you do it for Krishna? I mean, how do you... Whatever the things our people do here. Write computer programs for Krishna. Your boss's name isn't Krishna. It's, you know, Mr. Dude, he wants some money. But you're hired to make some money for this Mr. Dude. But that's not who our boss is. He thinks he's the boss, but we know that Krishna's the boss. Watch, Krishna moves his hand and the man's gone. Krishna's the boss. So we're working for Krishna. We'll do our activities in a conscientious way, in a mindful, all the time, that our behavior, our example within the workplace is going to help people become Krishna conscious. How we do our work, the consciousness that we carry as we're in the workplace, will help people become Krishna conscious. Anyway, it's not dharmasya hi apavargasya nartotayopakalpate, which means na artha artaya. It's never meant upakalpate. It's never meant for artha, for getting wealth. That's a different way of looking at occupational engagements. It's never to be for getting wealth. Think about it, what I'm just saying. It's never to be for getting wealth. Nobody thinks like that. The Bhagavatam is training us to think like that. So if it's not for getting wealth, what is it for? It's for doing our duty to Krishna. How do you see your occupational engagement as duty for Krishna? Krishna's given you some ability. You're using that ability to serve Him. And something comes as a result. And that something is used in Krishna's service. My target, what's the end of this life's target? I want to reach Krishna. And some type of work has to be done. So I'm doing some type of work according to that ability which Krishna has given me. Each of us have different abilities. And we develop those abilities to serve Krishna. And we serve Krishna. And some fruit comes now. Nartasya dharmai kantasya kamo labhaya hismitaha. So I'm going along, I'm Vishnu Das. I'm going to my place of work, I have my family, and I'm thinking I should be very conscientious. This Bhagavatam's message is meant for my purification, and it says I should do this for Krishna, not for material gain. So I'm going and I'm doing my job very diligently. They say, oh, you're such a good worker. Here's a bonus at the end of the year. You did your job very, very well. Here's 10,000 rupees bonus. Hey, I wasn't looking for the 10,000 rupees, but look at this. What to do? The Bhagavatam says, neither on this end nor in this end. Your purpose should not be sense gratification. And if some prosperity comes from acting in a religious way, in a dutiful way, and some prosperity comes. It's not like, oh, Krishna must have wanted me to enjoy this something. Let me use it in sense gratification. No. It may not have been your purpose, but it just came. But don't use it in sense gratification. Don't aspire for sense gratification, and don't take success in sense gratification. Convert that into the practice of devotional service. Some of you may be familiar with Madhurya Kandamani by Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. It's a description of the stages of bhakti from Shraddha to Prema. And in the Anartha Nivritti, so that's the fourth stage, chapter 4, very interesting chapter, he says that anarthas can be understood according to their source of emanation, their origin, in the four categories of anarthas. First one, it's going to connect back to this verse. The first one is anarthas that arise due to past sinful activities. So that's easy to understand. Past sinful activities, some dirty thing comes into the heart from that past sinful activity. That's one source of anartha. And Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says, by chanting the holy name, that can be cleansed. So now comes the next one, more difficult to understand, so listen carefully. Anarthas that arise due to past pious activity. Why should that be an anartha? Past pious activity gives the pious fruit. But if there's a pious fruit and the heart's impure, then I'm going to try to enjoy that pious fruit. And that's an anartha. The good news is the chanting of the holy name helps eradicate that second category of anartha, anarthas that arise due to this enjoying spirit. That's where detachment, vairagya, awakening within the heart, benefits the performer. And that's the first part of this verse. Dharma should never be performed for the purpose of material gain, to be then employed in sense gratification, the cycle. But then, so the third category of anartha is anarthas that arise from offenses. And Vishnath says there's two categories of offenses. There's seva aparad. The good news is, chant the holy name, and if you make some mistake in seva, in deity worship or worship, seva, then chanting the holy name eradicates that reaction. Unless you go on deliberately performing mistakes, thinking it's okay, I just chant Hare Krishna because I don't have to worry about mistakes. I don't have to worry about offenses and seva, aparad. I chant Hare Krishna. Then it becomes namaparad. So the second category of offense is offense against the holy name. And the antidote against the offenses against the holy name is avoiding the offenses against the holy name. So be very careful to avoid offenses against the holy name. Now, supposing you get that far, offenses, aparads, excuse me, impurities of heart that arise from those three sources, then comes the next one. It's subtle. It's tricky. It captures almost everybody because it's subtle. You get a little successful. Little successful. You want to be the enjoyer of that little spiritual success. Spiritual success. Like some recognition. Oh, you're a nice devotee. Oh, you lead the kirtan so nicely, you decorate the deity so nicely, you do this or that so nicely. We want little recognition. Some title, some prestige, some bhakshish. Some little donation. Somebody goes on Sankirtan, oh, you keep this for yourself. This is not for the temple. Put it in your pocket. It's for yourself. No. 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 Karangarangani, he uses this phrase. It's riding. Ranga is a wave, like Ranganath. He's the Lord who rides in the ocean of milk, Ranganath. And Rangani is diminutive, little waves. Taranga Rangani is one who enjoys little waves of little success in spiritual life. Oh, now I've got a title, I've got a position. It's a contamination. It's an anartha. It blocks progressing on the spiritual path. So it's nice to be a titleless devotee. And it's also nice to be a devotee that receives some recognition and there's no spirit of being the enjoyer of that. Rather, it's for the service of the personality of God, for Guru and Krishna. Some service, some honor goes to our Pacific line, that some devotee has become successful. How wonderful. What a glorious Pacific succession we have. How merciful. Because look at any one of us, and what great credential do any one of us have? Our credential is we're the most fallen. That's our credential. So we're candidates at the mercy of Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda. And they picked us up, dusted us off, given us Abhishek, set us on the path of devotional service. So some honor comes. That's their honor. The mercy of Srila Prabhupada and the whole Pacific succession to take us out of that dark material existence should never be used for sense gratification. Some little success in one's an occupational duty, and Prabhupada is saying in the purport, religious or work. Religious side of life, or literally the occupational side, because the occupational side is meant also for apavarga, ultimate liberation. That takes some training. You know, to think in a way different, like 180 degrees opposite how everybody else is thinking. It's like, you know, everyone's rushing for the train and you're going the opposite direction. You get pushed by that force of everybody running for the train. Or some other example of some experience. You're in the river and the water's moving swiftly and you're swimming upstream, but the water is moving faster than you're swimming upstream, so you're moving downstream. You had that experience, like in the Ganga? Downstream. Because the current of materialism in this world is increasing. The feverish pitch of chasing after sense gratification isn't diminishing. Passion is on the rise. And frustration, because I didn't get my share, or I got my share and it didn't satisfy. Frustration. So much conflagration and war and dissension between people fighting over so many things. Over resources and wealth and control. Over what? Phantasmagoria. But they bought into it completely, the whole picture of illusion. Fighting for the bone. Dogs. I want that bone. So the Bhagavatam is describing how we can get relief from that doggish civilization altogether. by hearing. So go back some verses by the emphasis is there upon the hearing process, hearing the message of Srimad Bhagavatam, and by hearing it regularly, the life of devotion awakens, and as that life of devotion awakens, progressively detachment and knowledge awaken. And so now, when you're in that awakened state, you should be mindful. Never should one's occupational or religious duties be done for the purpose of getting some material thing and bringing that material thing into the service of your senses, but only for ultimate liberation. And if something does come, never employ it in sense gratification. Never. I had a little, put it gentle and say, disagreement with my parents. It actually was an argument, but I'll say disagreement. Their position was, God wants us, He gave us so many things He wants us to enjoy. He gave us so many things that He wants us to enjoy. So enjoy. And I was saying, no. This was a role reversal, you know. Parents are telling their children. And now this is the child telling the parent, no. Because there's something that you've supplied here in the home, doesn't mean, you know, no rules, just enjoy it. That's not respectful. It's yours. It's for your, you've provided all these things. So that the dutiful son should see that all things are used in such a way that it's pleasing to the parents. That's a religious principle. Yeah, that's right. That's right. But then, you know, there's all this other stuff that's out there and it's up for grabs. I didn't use that language, but that was the message. Enjoy. God provided us. God gave dominion over the animals. It says in the Old Testament. And therefore what? And therefore enjoy. Here's what I said. When I was small, you had dominion over me. Does that mean I become, you know, on the center of the table, your dinner? Oh, they didn't like that one. My mother burst out crying. My father said, why are you speaking in such a way to make your mother cry? She just, well, don't ask me questions. I just stay quiet. We didn't talk about those things after that. But the Bhagavatam does. It takes training. It takes very serious changing the way that just opposite. And not just opposite by negation, so that we don't exist. And only God exists. We exist. We're servants. And we're making some endeavor. There's five factors to action. One of them is the living entity. It doesn't say living entity, it says endeavor. That's what living entities do. They don't just desire. I desire to have something. Nice temple for Krishna. We're meant to make some endeavor. But endeavor alone doesn't make things happen. We've all had that experience. But that's what we do. We're endeavorers. We endeavor to please Krishna. And if we endeavor to please Krishna according to indications that Krishna gives, whether there's a result or there isn't a result, Krishna's pleased. I just came across a very nice statement Krishna makes, actually, in Mahabharata. Listen, this is when he's speaking to Vidura, about his intention of convincing the Kauravas not to have a battle. He's come to the royal palace on behalf of it as the messenger of the Pandavas to bring about a truce. So he says there's three things. This is paraphrased, it's not verbatim, but for one who has an intention to carry out a religious duty, even if there isn't the opportunity to carry out that religious duty by striving, endeavoring, contemplating, making the effort to carry out that religious duty, be assured that he will get the benefit of executing that religious duty. And second thing, he says, for one who has a bad thought, a bad desire, a bad idea, a sinful propensity, but checks it and doesn't act on it, know for certain that person is not held responsible for a sinful reaction just for having some sinful desire that he didn't act on. Then the third thing he says, O Vidura, I will try my best. I mean, this is the personality of God that's saying, I'll try my best. But I'll try my best to bring a situation where there will be no war. Now, it's Krishna's plan that there was a war. But he's speaking like that. He made that gesture, which, of course, Duryodhana rejected. Now, what about us? We're trying, if we're hearing this message of the Bhagavatam, and then you get up and you go to the office. If, you know, the light's out, it goes in one ear and out the other ear, there's no transformation, no change at all. But supposing you go to the office and think, gee, how can I act in such a way in the office that it's for ultimate liberation, but not for material gain? And I've got to pay my bills. But that doesn't mean being irresponsible, but it's understanding that bill paying is in service to Krishna, as much as the working is in service to Krishna, because the ability is from Krishna, and the result is from Krishna. And in fact, it's all in relation to Krishna. You just have your Krishna light on when you go to the workplace. You're working for Krishna. That guy is thinking you're working for him. You're working for Krishna. And you continue to contemplate and strive like that, Krishna will give you more and more realizations of how it is so. And you'll be able to be an instrument for Krishna in that workplace like you weren't able to before because your Krishna light wasn't on. It was off. It's called secularism. I worship the temple, do my chanting, read the Bhagavatam, and then I go to the job. And that's night, and then over here is light, day. But it's supposed to be light all the time. It's supposed to be for Krishna all the time. That's the Bhagavatam's teaching. Quickly, I'm not going to detail it at all. This is speaking of the consciousness behind the activity. Text 10 reads, life's desire should never be directed towards sense gratification. One should desire a healthy life or self-preservation, since a human being is meant for inquiry into the absolute truth. Nothing else should be the goal of one's work. So this is describing the consciousness that you carry. I'll end with this thought, that to work for Krishna when you're doing your occupational duty means the consciousness that you carry. Who are you interested in? Or what are you interested in? If it's, I'm interested in sense gratification, Krishna isn't going to be in your thoughts. And if you're interested in pleasing Krishna, sense gratification is going to be pushed out of your thoughts, or they will diminish. Although the roar around you is going on. This young man that came and sat next to me in the waiting lounge on the flight yesterday. He asked, where am I going? Are you going to Vrindavan? I said, it wouldn't be in the airport if I was going to Vrindavan. I'm going to Hyderabad. He said, I'm going to Puri. What are you going to Puri for? A conference. Most people go to Puri to see Lord Jagannath. What conference is it? Oh, it's a scientist's conference. Okay. And what do you think of all the people zooming around here? Then he gave his, I don't think they're doing anything. I don't think they exist. Because everything is being done by Prakriti. But okay, what's the soul? But so, he was finding some kind of quasi-peacefulness / bewilderment by thinking he doesn't exist. And I was expressing, I'm just sitting here, you saw me, I was sitting here chanting. Now you see Raghavendran, he's just chanting. And we're just connected to Krishna through the chanting of the holy name, wherever we are. Even the zoom, zoom, zoom is going on. We're with Krishna. We're with Krishna. So wouldn't you like to be Krishna connected, and then you can help your family be Krishna connected? It's very important that we preach Krishna consciousness. And why it was that he came and spoke to me, because I was dressed this way. So some people ask, you know, do you have to dress this way? You don't have to dress this way. But if it helps people think of Krishna, we dress this way. We'll do anything we can to help people think of Krishna. And if you're in the workplace and you're acting in such a way, it reminds people of a spiritual person, then maybe ask you a spiritual question. You have a spiritual dialogue right in the workplace. It happens, doesn't it? Don't conceal that you're a devotee. It's like, I mean, as soon as Raghavendran's son was there with his tilak and a big smile, his face lit up, this man. So we should wear the external signs of a devotee, but we should also inside carry the qualities of a devotee. And that's powerful. That can change people. It can change people. I see it happening all the time. Okay, so, and there, see if there's any discussion on the verse. This isn't Hyderabad, is it? There's always Krishna.
Oh, okay. I read this verse in the beginning. I was just thinking that the occupational engagement cannot be done in a sunset situation. So better to leave those occupational engagements and then do devotional service directly to the Lord. But then, even in doing devotion service to the Lord, there are different there are different things that have to be done for the Lord.
Yeah.
So I didn't think the implications of getting attached to those results and all those things. Being attached to a kind of a position or some kind of a gain that comes. It's a more a kind of a escapist idea than understanding it in a more mature manner.
It's more of a witch than a witch?
It's more an escapist idea.
Uh-huh.
Than doing it with maturity.
Doing with less?
With purity. With maturity.
Maturity.
So, but now the idea that is developing in nowadays devotees is that this is very difficult, that is better. Means we cannot, because we have our innate natures. We have our natures, so we have to go through these occupational engagements, slowly get purified, and then only we can do devotional service.
Uh-huh.
So how do we understand and
that was Daksha's argument. That was Daksha's argument to Narada. You have cheated my sons. You just put them in saffron dress and they didn't get to go through the school of hard knocks, learn the hard way and go through family life and suffer and come out the other end thinking, oh, there's no enjoyment there. But the purification through that process, you've denied them of that. So that was Daksha's argument. So people may think like that, but actually, my answer is neither this one nor that one, but each of us has a nature. Each of us has a nature. And we have to... I'll speak for myself. I'm very happy. It's natural for me to be in the ashram that I am in. I mean, there's not at any point in time been contemplation, something else. Very natural, very suitable. So, in chapter 9 of Canto 1, in the Bhishma Dev section, it describes the last instruction given by Bhishma Dev. It says that he was teaching counteraction by interaction. So in other words, it's the duty of a teacher to assess. It's the duty of you as a president, or duty of anyone that's taking care of other individuals to assess what's this individual's propensity, what's their nature, and recognizing their nature to encourage them to go according to their nature. So this material existence is not natural. It's foreign to us. But some people are strongly attracted to it, addicted to it. And so then there's the counteraction by interaction. But some persons aren't so strongly attached to it. And such persons, it's better to detach them. That's what Narada did. Narada tested the Hariyashvas and Sabalashvas, and as leaders, we should also examine those who were guiding and see. Some are suited for... It's one of the four ashrams. Brahmachari ashram is one of the four. Not everyone must be grihastha. And propensity... So that the consideration is not propensities for work, but how much deep is the attachment for Krishna? The spirit of attachment for Krishna. I've thought about this, like, lots of times. I'm probably doing, if I hadn't become a devotee, I would probably be doing many of the same things I'm doing as a devotee, but not for Krishna. I'd either be a teacher or a doctor. It's just my nature. But it's very suitable to be a teacher or caring for others' needs as a devotee, and to do so as a devotee in the renounced position of life. It's very natural. But because of association with devotees, now I'm able to do that. And I was encouraged in a life of renunciation. And a couple of times people, I remember one discussion with, I won't mention the devotee's name, said, you know, have you been thinking about married life? And I said, no. He said, are you sure? I said, yeah, why are you asking? I mean, you know, why are you agitating my mind about this? He said, well, you know, there's this girl. I said, look, either this conversation ends or I'm leaving. Because, you know, what are you doing? Leave me alone. I have no, you know, don't put something there that's not there. It's nothing there. So this is, it's a happy life. Brahmacharya life is a life of freedom, a life of happiness. It is. Now someone that's a householder will look at it and go, oh my God, so austere. And that brahmacharya looks at what the householders do and go, oh my God, it's so austere. Look what you have to put up with. Isn't it? So it's very natural that for some of us it's very natural to be, and in all cases it's to be done for Krishna. So it's more, I find it more difficult to take, you know, what householders have to do, money, association, always with the opposite sex, and it's always for Krishna. I find what I'm doing is much easier. But it may not be someone's nature. But at least that training initially should be there, and then let nature take its course, or let the direction of those guiding one decide. But the idea of, oh, I've got my nature. Well, everybody has their nature. So do that in service to Krishna. Now, it would be inappropriate if I became a doctor and stayed brahmachari. It's one of the reasons I had a contemplation at one point. Okay, now I lived life as a devotee for some time. Now do I want to continue with the academic pursuit that I was going down? I thought, no. One of the reasons was very clear. That's the path where it's going to lead to things that I don't feel I want in my life. So no. Just stay as a devotee. Living in the temple. But I'm very happy. I'm not missing anything. Very happy. My life is full. So, in that sense, you know, the spiritual contentment sense, see what one's nature is, and that will determine whether propensities can be used this way or that way. Huh? Yes.
From this loka, we can see that by practice, by doing our occupational duty for the service and for the pleasure of Krishna, the knowledge and detachment automatically arise.
Yes. Knowledge will automatically arise.
Is it that knowledge that I am an eternal servant
of
Krishna?
Yes, that knowledge.
Detachment, I am not danger. What is the detachment?
Detachment is detachment from the rest. Detachment from the spirit of sense enjoyment. As if I wasn't this part and parcel of Krishna. I'm this body. I'm a machine for enjoying. Detachment from all of that. You know, the craziness of material life. That kind of detachment. Yeah.
You shared that we can reveal in ourselves and workplace that we are devotees, so that people can come and talk to us sometimes. But like when people generally tend to associate us with ISKCON, and it's a buzzword for them.
It was what? The bad word?
Buzzword.
Buzzword.
So they have some preconceived notion about things, and they will.
That's okay. Just be who you are. It's very disarming. I have experience. I'll share one. I was flying in an airplane from Chicago to New York. No, it was New York to Chicago. New York to Chicago. And I had an aisle seat, and inside was a Jewish man and his wife. You know, a little older. And she was this yakety yak 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 kind of a person. And then she turned to me and said, you know, look, you know, a New Yorker looked me up and down and said, are you a monk? I said, kind of, something like that. He said, you're Buddhist? I said, no, Krishna. He said, not Buddha? I said, no, Krishna. She said, what's Krishna? I said, that was Krishna. It's, who is Krishna? And so it went back and forth like that. And I was taking prasadam. And she said, oh, you're vegetarian. I said, yeah. I said, why are you vegetarian? And I gave her reasons. And we had this exchange back and forth. And she said, you know, you're really normal. You have a sense of humor, and you're fun, and you're intelligent, and you're a normal person. And I said, thank you, and so are you. She laughed. She said, well, you know, when people go around dressed like youth guys are dressed, people think, you know what people think. You know what people think, don't you? Think you're crazy. Or strange or something. But you're normal. I said, well, no, you can't judge a book by its cover. You just, if anybody spends a little bit of time with a devotee, they're very happy. You know, their misconceptions are dispelled. She said, then she ended it with said, I hope you don't mind, but I have this something, 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 I forget, attention deficit disorder, ADD. I said, oh, that means you talk all the time. She said, yeah. Then turned to her husband and, no, 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 no. But so she was just registering that just by being in the presence of a devotee, her misconceptions were just taken away. So all of you that are out there in the workplace or the marketplace or, you know, mixing with people all the time, that's a great opportunity to take people's conceptions, misconceptions, and change them. Just by, even if you don't speak to the person, because I wasn't speaking to her, I was just sitting there behaving myself. But I was, you know, I was doing things that normal people do. I was eating, and I was doing stuff on my computer, and things that I do in airplanes. Quite normal. But mix with people, and you know, it just disarm their alarms. They can beneficiate. Oh, very nice. Oh yeah, at the end she said, is there a web that I can go and find out more about this? I like all these points that you're making. So, you know, it led to curiosity to find out something more. I said, Krishna.com. She got out her pen. Can you spell it? Yeah, I have a lot of practice. I can spell it. I said, you're funny. How do you spell it? Krishna.com. Okay. So now she wants to learn something more. Okay. Someone else had their hand up? Yes. Last question. Here comes the microphone. Okay, better be a good question. Okay.
Maharaj?
Yeah.
Hare Krishna, Maharaj.
Hare Krishna.
Like on the name of Lord Krishna, while performing occupational duties, I take more responsibilities.
You take more responsibilities?
Right. Just on the name of Lord Krishna. But the tendency to enjoy senses or to earn money or to come in reason. But when I see the enthusiasm or curiosity, I miss in performing devotional service. If I do also, the behavior, consciousness, to enjoy senses, senses something, perform devotional service. So how should I open?
What to do? I got the what to do part, but most of the rest of what you said I didn't get. Subin, did you get it? You get it? Okay, what does this mean? Say it again. Slow. Slowly.
On the name of Lord Krishna.
On the name of Lord Krishna, I take many duties.
Yes, ma'am.
And sometimes I have this tendency that I do it for material gain.
Yes, ma'am.
That part I got.
When I see the enthusiasm and...
When you see what?
Enthusiasm. Enthusiasm.
Enthusiasm.
Yeah.
Ah.
The same thing is missing in performing devotional service.
Ah.
If I do also, the same tendency, the behavior, consciousness...
Yes, the tendency is you take your baggage into the realm of devotional service. That's the tendency. Not just you. It's everybody. So, the enthusiasm, exactly, the enthusiasm that we may exhibit in devotional service has on, you know, in our mind, on the screen of the mind, the what's in it for me calculation. How am I going to get some perks out of this? How am I going to get something? That's one of the nice things about chanting Hare Krishna mantra. It's not fruitive. How are you going to get something out of, you know, material out of chanting? It's one of the reasons the mind becomes restless when you chant. Because there's no material perk. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama. Where's the perk? So then in the realm or the arena of devotional service, what is it that one may want? Some recognition. Some honor. Some title. So, the Bhagavatam is teaching us. Sutta Goswami is teaching us. Vyasadeva is teaching us. Don't do like that. So it's easier to say don't do like that than to not do like that. It takes practice and it takes, again, training. It takes a strong desire. You have to hear this message and then keep practicing this message and being guided how to practice this message in the proper way. And by the combination of all those things, gradually purification comes. And that's a whole other world of devotional service, a whole other world of occupational duty to do like that. Okay? Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.